Big Mama Thornton, one of the blues greats, showcased at a new museum dedicated to the blues that just opened this month in St. Louis. The National Blues Museum also features blues music from the Delta, from Memphis, and from Chicago, people like Willie Dixon.
Whoa! But I got to put you down a little while.
And what would a blues museum in St. Louis be without St. Louis blues musicians like Albert King?
Born on a bad sign. Been down since I began to crawl. If it wasn't for bad luck, I would have no luck at all.
Some of the sounds visitors will hear at the new National Blues Museum in St. Louis. And joining us now from St. Louis are Dion Brown, founding executive director of the National Blues Museum. Dion, welcome to you.
Hey, thank you, sir.
And Rob Endicott is also with us. He's chair of the board of directors of the National Blues Museum. Rob, welcome to you as well.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And let's start with the whole idea of this museum. What does this museum tell us about the blues that has been missing or that's not told in other museums around the country or in other ways about the blues? Deanne, I'll start with you.
What's great about this museum is, you know, you have a lot of different blues museums, such as the B.B. King Museum. You have the Delta Blues Museum. But what the National Blues Museum is about all blues. And what specifically, it shows you how the blues influenced so many different other genres, influenced all genres of music.
Like what? And how do you make that connection in the museum?
I'll give you one good one. We have a picture of Muddy Waters in the middle of Keith Richards and Wynton Marsalis, and it says, "The blues had a baby, and they named it rock and roll." Hmm. That pretty much sums it up, and it shows how the British Invasion, we have a section in the museum on the British Invasion, and how Keith Richards, the Rolling Stones, they tribute all their early music back to the blues.
Well, Rob, where did this idea come from to start a National Blues Museum?
Well, you know, there was a development going on downtown, and people were looking for a project that would put a stake in the ground in St. Louis around music. We have a great musical heritage, but we've never sort of claimed it and marketed it as such. And as Dion said, we looked around, and there wasn't a museum that told the whole national story of the blues. It was all, you know, it was about a region or an artist, and we thought, well, St. Louis is central geographically to the story between the Delta and Chicago, and so why not stick it here and tie it all together?
Well, yeah, and there are people, I've seen people have said, this museum should be in Chicago or it should be in Memphis or it should be somewhere else. What do you say to those people?
Well, we have a great place in the central story. You know, in the Great Migration North, as people were coming up from the Delta to places like Chicago and Detroit, they would stop off at Memphis or St. Louis and other places, and they would put their own stamp on the music there. So it was, you know, a vital part of that story. You know, we also have, you know, one of the big first hits, the St. Louis Blues, but also really, you know, artists who are sort of central to the blues story who even in other genres like Miles Davis was, you know, in the way that jazz intersects with the blues and Chuck Berry and the way, you know, what he did with the blues to take it and turn it into rock and roll. So that's our claim to it.
And when you're setting up a National Blues Museum, Dion, where do you start? Where does it begin? How did the blues get started in this country?
How did it get started? Great question. You know, if you trace it back, it started down in the, in my mind, in the Mississippi Delta, through the plantations and the work songs, the chants that came out of there. And then, as Rob mentioned, with the Great Migration, it started traveling north. You had the people from Alabama, they went primarily to the East Coast, and people in Louisiana, they went to the West Coast. And the people that's straight Mississippi, they traveled up the Mississippi River. And so they carried their blues with them. And then when they made their stakehold, wherever they stopped at, it picked up a different sound. So to me, that's how the blues has grown across the country and even traveled overseas, because you had people, sharecroppers, going overseas working, you know, singing.
And one of the people who stands out as one of the most famous blues musicians of all time is, of course, B.B. King. Let's listen to B.B. King here with Why I Sing the Blues from 1969.
Everybody want to know why I sing the blues. Yes, I say everybody want to know
Rob, what makes B.B. King stand out?
Boy, it's the feeling there that, you know, I mean, it's the restraint that he had. I mean, you can hear it in his voice and in his guitar playing. I mean, it's the selection of the notes, you know, and the way he would bend them and just not playing, overplaying. That, to me, that's quintessential B.B. King right there.
Dion, who else stands out to you in the history of the blues?
Going back to Rob, what he just talked about with Mr. King, I had the honor of working for Mr. King at the B.B. King Museum for the last 5 years. Actually, I was hired to come here from the B.B. King Museum. It's his passion. All musicians have the passion, but Mr. King was just something else with the passion. I mean, he could hit one note on Lucille, and you knew who he was, what it was about. You know, that's the thing about the blues, and, you know, living in Indianola, Mississippi, in Mr. King's hometown, you meet so many great blues musicians who didn't make it, but they still have that passion. They still sing it. But, you know, the obvious is the W.C. Handy, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf. There's so many, but there's also so many. We just had an event up here on March 31st, and there's a traveling exhibit we have called Blues at Home. And it's a painting of 31 Mississippi blues musicians. And we had 9 of them up here, from Bobby Rush to Denise LaSalle, Jimbo Mathus, Jesse Robinson. The list goes on. And they're great entertainers. And at the end of the night, Rob will tell you, they put on a jam session that the people who are in attendance, it was just mind-blowing. And that's what the blues is. It's a great feeling, and they just love to be around their fans.
Well, let's have a little bit more of that feeling. And you mentioned Howlin' Wolf. Here's Howlin' Wolf with Smokestack Lightning from his 1959 album, Moanin' in the Moonlight. That howl. So does he get his own section in a blues museum, or does he get stuck in with other people?
You can't miss Howlin' Wolf in our museum. It plays a very prominent part in sort of the festival section.
Yes, he's featured a couple times as far as performing goes, and then we have a few items, pictures of him.
Yeah.
But hopefully as we grow, we'll have some Howlin' Wolf memorabilia artifacts in there.
So when you're setting up a museum in 2016, how is it different from a museum that would have been set up in the 90s or the 80s?
It's more interactive. So it's a little bit smaller footprint. So probably people who are interested in this area know the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or the Country Music Hall of Fame. And those are quite large places with, you know, just tons and tons of artifacts and so forth. We have a little bit smaller space, but we leverage that with a lot of interactives where you can actually come in and write your own blues song and add a guitar track and a piano track to it. You're really hands-on learning as you're, you know, reading text and looking at great pictures, but it's that sort of interactive thing that we hope that the kids will latch onto.
And being in the museum, I saw it yesterday, a young lady, probably in her teens, early teens, she was telling her dad how she just recorded and created her own music album, her own album. And so they were sitting there listening to it, and it's mind-blowing.
Well, let me then finally ask you. I mean, I'm sure that in St. Louis and in the surrounding area, this is going to be a museum that over the coming years, students are going to have to come through. It's going to be a field trip for their school. What do you want kids to take away from this museum?
I'll feel that one, Rob. It's an educational experience more so than a field trip, because we're going to teach them not only about the blues, but the blues, the history that goes along with it. We have live performances going on that will start up probably the end of May, and all of them will be an educational purpose. So when the kids come in, not only will they get to do the interactives, see the artifacts, but then plan on seeing a blues musician or a blues performance while they're there.
Rob?
Yeah, I think people will come in and they'll say, I don't even know that much about the blues. I don't really know if I even like the blues. And then as they see all of the influences and how it is, you know, seeped into American culture, all American music, they're going to say, I didn't even know I loved the blues, but I love the blues.
Hmm. That's Rob Endicott, the chair of the board of directors of the new National Blues Museum in St. Louis. And we've also been speaking with Dion Brown, who is the founding executive director of the museum. Thanks to both of you.
All right. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you.